Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you'll come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. We hope you'll enjoy this lesson brought to us by Glenn Colley.
Our reading this morning will be from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them.
And now would you open God's book, please, to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. I'll be there in just a few minutes. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. It's so wonderful to see all of you here. This sermon's going to be a little unique in that two preachers are going to preach it. I'm going to preach for a little bit, and then it's not going to be a longer sermon, I don't think, but I'm going to preach for a little bit, and then one of our deacons, Keith Anderson, who works with our youth, is going to preach the second half of it. I ask him to do that because as this unfolds, you'll see that he has a particular expertise or experience in this subject that I do not have. And so I think that'll be very beneficial to us. One of the dangers of the Christian life, which has always been true, is found in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. And I often refer to it because it's such a powerful passage of Scripture. And don't be conformed to the world. The interesting thing is that we live in the world, so we're in it, but we're not of it. And there's a constant drumbeat of the world to conform us to its morals, to inch into our psyche so that it can mold us into its image. And we come here every week, just like we're doing now, to listen to the Word of God, to contemplate the teachings of Jesus Christ, and to conform ourselves to Him. We are His disciples. But we've got to keep at it. We've always got to keep at it. It occurs to me that you take kids that are raised so exposed to the world, and it could very well be that listening to so much television and the music of the world and the videos of the world and the video games of the world, it would be something, wouldn't it, if our young people grew up and they weren't shocked when they heard the outreaches of the morality of the world. But they would be shocked when they listen to some of the principles of morality from the Bible. You can't be. The Bible teaches that. Does it teach that? You're not serious, are you? When does a teenager mature? When does a teenager get mature? And how would you define that? What would you say would be signs of maturity? And sometimes kids do a very childish thing and they define it as when they can use adult language. You know, I can say hell, I can say damn, and I can use those words, or other words, filthy words, and it would somehow elevate me, and you'd know that I was using adult language, and therefore I was mature. Of course, that's silly, it's childish, and it's foolish, and you just make yourself foolish that way. I would say that maturity comes, and maybe there's other examples of how you could demonstrate this, but maturity really is demonstrated when I take the morals of the Scriptures, and I don't borrow them from my parents. I apply them myself, and I hold to those things because I want to please God. This is me. This is what I want to do. It's what I want to be in my life. I want to be a Christian. Other people, they'll be making their own choices. These are mine. I want to talk about dancing today. I don't want to shock you. It occurs to me as I write this sermon, you know, that our young people are exposed to so much worldliness, so much evil, so much wickedness, that this may seem somehow depleted. And are we going to talk about that? And the answer is yes. Here's a principle of Scripture that's terribly important. And how I want to approach it is to give you four important words, four Bible words. Here they are. These are Bible words which are applicable to our morality. They're not about dancing. I'm going to apply them to dancing and to the prom. But these are four words that are about morality. Lewdness, uncleanness, pure, and light. Let's begin. lewdness. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, which you have open on your lap, says this. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. And yet, I think this is something that is often misunderstood. And sometimes people will call me with questions, and it demonstrates that they don't have a handle on this principle, but I want to make sure all of you do. Sometimes people have the idea about sexual morality, that so long as fornication does not occur, that anything shy of that would not be sinful. But the truth is that there's a whole different category of sin that's not fornication, actually. It's what precedes that, or what would encourage that, or what would be a part of that, but not the actual act of fornication. I had a woman call me recently. She's a good woman. She's a Christian woman in another place. And she was going through this thought process, and she asked me this question. And I'm only using it to illustrate the point so that you'll get it. She said, with young people who are dating, or maybe even who are planning someday to get married, wouldn't it be all right if they slept together? And she was serious. Now, I don't mean fornication, but what if they kept their clothes on and they just slept together? Now, there wouldn't be anything wrong with that, really. I mean, have we made too much out of this? There really wouldn't be anything wrong with that. It took me a little while to grasp that she was serious and not teasing me, but she wasn't teasing. And the point is that she didn't understand this principle of Scripture, which is a whole different category of sin that would describe that which would not be fornication, but would precede fornication. And the word is lewdness. When Thayer's lexicon defined the word lewdness, he said that it would include things like filthy words, words intended to incite passion. It would involve the unchaste handling of males and females. And he said it would involve indecent bodily movements. That would be lewdness. When you go to the New Testament, you find lewdness in a number of different places. Almost always, it'll be in a grouping of sins that are of a sexual nature. Now, take the next slide. Here are the different ways that the word is translated. New King James, King James, sensuality is New American Standard. The NIV says debauchery. Now, let's go to the next slide. One more thing I want you to know about this, that Jesus gives a list of sins here, and he finishes by saying that these are the things which will defile a man. And so this is serious, because lewdness is part of that. It's part of that. All right, so our first word is lewdness. It is that which God designed to excite passions in human beings who are married. When we use those things to excite passions in people that are not, it is called lewdness. Now, here's the second word. It's uncleanness. Now, you find the same verse in Galatians 5 and 19, the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Now, the definition means what you think. It means dirty. And so we would use the term dirty joke or dirty movie or dirty video or dirty magazine, dirty talk. Wow, however you, that's the word. That's what this word means. I want you to walk through some verses. Let's just scroll through some verses which use this word. It is almost always attached to sexuality. So here we go. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 21. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me before you or among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. Now Ephesians 4, verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work uncleanness with greediness. Now Colossians chapter 3 in verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Now 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Now back to Galatians 5, where we started this. Now watch, the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, and etc. And then he adds reveling. Now this one's kind of interesting to our discussion, because reveling means, by definition in the Greek, a carousal which involves a letting loose. It's kind of interesting. And it sounds an awful lot like a prom, doesn't it? Get to the end of the year, you know, graduation. So very exciting. Going to have the summer off. And now we're celebrating. It is a celebration. And so the prom is to come together for socialization. You spend a lot of money and you dress up. The girls are often dressed, not always, but often dressed immodestly. And the centerpiece of the evening and the socialization is the dance. It's about girls and boys who are attracted to one another. Maybe they've been dating a long time. Maybe this is their first date. I don't know. But they're obviously attracted to one another. And so we're gonna play loud music, and we're going to have them move their bodies before one another to the beat of music. Right? You know what the Bible would call that? It would call that lewdness. Or maybe they will be in an embrace as they move their bodies to music. You know what the Bible would call that? It would call it lewdness. It would call it uncleanness. That's what that is. It's not fornication, but it's in a separate category, which, I mean, it leads to the fornication, I suppose. I mean, you have websites, you can look them up and talk to give advice to girls about how that, at least among some, there's a presupposition that the prom night you're going to have sex, and so here's how to navigate your way through that and decide whether or not you want to do that. But this is not about fornication exactly. It's about something else. They're unclean things. It's unclean language. He says, don't do that. They're there's unclean touching. I don't have to explain just exactly what that would be, but you understand that. And there's unclean sight. So when you go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, you talk about wearing clothing that's immodest. What's that all about? And the answer is that clothing that's too low, that's too short, that's too tight is unclean. Now, here's the next word. It's the word pure. There's a beautiful verse that uses this word. It's 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God. It hasn't yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him. It's talking about when we finally go to heaven. We shall see him as he is. Now this clause at the end of that, are you ready for this? So people who are living their lives in anticipation of heaven has this hope in him. He purifies himself just as he is pure. Now look at the Greek word for pure. Here's what it means. Next slide. Chaste, pure, chaste, clear. That's how it's translated. And in the middle of the definition, there's a sexual twist to this. Pure from carnality. Chaste and modest. Live to be pure. The intimacy that we're describing is made for husbands and wives. And you take these things and you put them outside of marriage, and what was once pure becomes what the Bible would call unclean. It's dirty. And that's how we've got to think. That's the value that the Lord is trying to put in us with these verses. That's how we must think. Lust is an addiction. But it's kind of a strange one. You know, you can't do a blood test and tell if it's in there. You can't do a CAT scan and say, look, this man's eaten up with lust. But it's very real. And there's a drug that feeds it. And it's the kind of thing we've been talking about. Parents, don't let your kids go to the prom. Don't do it. Don't let them go to any of the dances. I mean, you talk about this drug, and then you put the kids together, and again, they're already attracted to one another, and then you put them in this atmosphere, and you say, now listen to me, you save yourself for marriage. That's what we're saying to them. Save yourself for marriage. Fornication is a sin, and you know what? Young people are not so very different, are they? Don't we all, as mortals, don't we live by, or rather, what one man called a brittle thread of mortality? Is that so untrue about young people? Be pure. And the last one is light. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, Jesus said that you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its distinctiveness, its saltiness, what's it good for but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men? You're the light of the world. See, that is to say that our objective in life, and I mean, if I ask you, you'd say my main objective is to go to heaven when I die. Right. But you're also a person whose objective it is to to live in such a way that I'm part of the solution in my life and not part of the problem. There's a lot of darkness in this world. I'm not going to encourage people with the darkness. I won't do it. And that's the point of this lesson, really, today. I want to be part of the light. I'm not going to encourage the darkness. I won't be a part of it. I won't put my name to it. I won't put my time to it. I won't put my face there. Because I want to be part of the light. Brother Keith.
We've heard several scriptures this morning calling us to put away anything that would cause us to be unclean. The experience that Brother Glenn mentioned, I just, you know, so that anyone that may be here that may not know, this is my 18th year as a high school public school teacher. In that, you know, over those years, seen a lot of hype about school dances, prom, homecoming, all of those things. And, you know, Brother Glenn and I are of the same mind, so you're probably going to hear some of these things again. However, I do want you to just think about some things from a lot of different perspectives. You know, we've heard things like this before. We've heard sermons like this, and a natural reaction is, why? Why is it such a big deal? Why is it such a big deal if I go to the prom? Okay? Why is it such a big deal if my daughter goes to the prom or if my son goes to the prom and all that? Because, you know, well, everybody does it. Everybody, you know, it's such a part of your high school experience. Why is it such a big deal? Well, my question that I want everyone to consider, and especially you guys, and everyone that's here or watching, I'm probably going to spend a lot of time over on this corner of the stage talking to our young people. But parents, grandparents, anyone that has any influence over any of our young people, this is for all of us. So that question is, why is it such a big deal if I don't go? Right? Have we ever asked ourselves that question? Have we ever asked, well, you know, instead of asking, well, why is it such a big deal if I go to the prom? Why is it such a big deal if I go to homecoming? Well, why is it such a big deal if you don't go? Okay? So, you know, we really have to look and consider everything that is involved with a typical high school dance. And, you know, I fully recognize that there may be exceptions. We may think there are exceptions and things like that. But when we really get into what typically goes on, I really want you to ask, and my concern is, why have we allowed ourselves to develop such a strong emotional attachment to such a secular, worldly event? You know, the hype that has been created around these things, you know, there's planning for months that goes on. You see, you know, this time of year, social media is filled with videos and pictures of the promposals, right, that have, you know, people have spent, you know, time, weeks, you know, preparing. And the hype around just that, you would think that they're pledging their lives to each other just for, you know, a simple invitation. And I'm concerned about, like I said, the hype and the emotional attachment that we have allowed this to have in our lives. So let's look at, am I gonna be able to drive? Hey, there we go. Alright, so let's look at just some characteristics, okay, of what typically goes on, at school dances. Number one, there's going to be inappropriate music. As I was putting things together, for this, I did just a simple Google search of prom night playlists, right? Typical music that would come up, you know, several links, obviously. Happened to click on a Spotify playlist. And for some of you that don't know what Spotify is, ask a young person, they'll tell you. Okay. And as I looked at just a generic, typical Spotify playlist, several of those songs were specifically marked explicit, right? And then even the ones that weren't marked as explicit, I just happened to pull the lyrics of one of those songs up, and it became obvious very, very quickly that anyone anyone that is trying to keep themselves unspotted from the world, anyone that is trying to keep themselves clean in the eyes of God has no business listening or hearing that music at all in any situation or any environment. Okay? So, immodest dresses, okay? Something else that fills social media this time of year is all of the pictures, right? Because obviously, young people, am I right, pics or it didn't happen, okay? Like, I'm not even sure I ate dinner last night because I didn't post pictures of it to Facebook, you know? I mean, that's kind of how it goes, right? If we don't catalog it on social media, then, you know, it's almost like it didn't happen, okay? So again, the typical dress for an event like this can get really, really immodest really, really quickly. And what's so interesting about that is we wouldn't allow that kind of dress in other situations, but the more formal, the more hype, the more emotional attachment we have to it, then, well, you know, it gets okay. Okay? And of course, we have the dancing. Right? And I put modern dancing on it, but we know, I mean, we know what we're talking about. You know, let's be real and let's just have a plain talk kind of conversation about what we're talking about. You know, all of those things. And, you know, the question that comes up that might even be in some of your minds right now or parents about your own young people would be, well, I can go to an event like this. I can go to prom and not involve myself with any of those things. You sure? Can you? Can you go and not hear the foul language? Can you go and not hear the suggestive lyrics to the music that's playing? Can you go and dress in a way that is consistent with 1 Timothy 2:10 that says women should adorn themselves in a manner that professes godliness? And here's a tip. If you're having to go to the store and buy certain things to wear under that dress because of how tight it is or how low cut it is, it doesn't qualify. Okay? Can you dance that close to your significant other, who, by the way, we have hyped this opportunity to do that for months now? Can you involve yourself in that kind of close physical activity and keep your thoughts absolutely pure about that person? It's just a challenge. I'll be honest. It's hard enough in everyday interactions, right? Okay? It's hard enough to keep our thoughts pure on a consistent basis, even without putting ourselves in such an emotionally charged event. So, let's be honest, okay? I really want you to consider and be honest with ourselves what we're talking about, okay? We are going to create an event for our culture, for our society, okay, that has months in the planning. And don't take this from me. I I've heard stories from colleagues about what goes on, you know, the kind of activities that go on in typical high school dance. One teacher years ago talked about working the spotlight at the homecoming dance. You know what the spotlight for the homecoming dance was for? It was a spotlight all the people dancing inappropriately so that they would have the spotlight on them and they would move apart from each other. That was his job. That was his job at the homeschool, at the homecoming dance. Heard from a high school principal. Now this is an administrator, okay, the top guy at the high school. He was lamenting how bad things had gotten, I think he was talking about the homecoming dance, okay, with, you know, happens in the fall around the, you know, fall football season and all that. He was lamenting how bad the dancing had gotten, okay, how bad some of the dress was gotten, and he said, I got half a mind to shut the thing down. He didn't. You know why? Because we've convinced ourselves that we can't graduate high school if we don't go to homecoming and prom, right? We've made this such a rite of passage. Okay, so what we're going to do with this rite of passage is we're going to hype this up. Okay, we're going to create an event that's going to take months to plan. Okay, people are going to plan for months how they're going to ask their significant other to go. Right? Then once they've been asked, the girl is going to shop for months, okay, for her dress. And then they're going to plan for months what they're going to do before the prom, during the prom, after the prom, okay? Then they're going to spend all day getting ready. And we're going to build up all of this anticipation finally to the event. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take this group of teenagers who, let's be honest, are pretty much the hormonal equivalent of the Hulk, right? Okay? We're going to take this group of teenagers. We're going to put them in a room. We're going to turn the lights down. We're going to turn the suggestive music up. We're going to let those girls wear about half a dress. And we're going to expect those kids to keep their minds pure, to keep themselves unspotted from the world, knowing good and well it's hard enough on a day-to-day basis. But we're going to create this event that's going to be hyped up for months, and we're going to attach such emotional attachment to it that, again, some parents just can't imagine that their kid would not want to go. And I have heard of young people. Okay, heard of a young girl years ago that became, you know, pretty convicted about this. And she decided that she was not going to go to prom because of what the Bible teaches about lewdness and uncleanness, like Brother Glenn said this morning. You know, that mom made that daughter go to prom? Made her. So it's not just the kids, y'all. It's not just the kids that think they have to go. Parents, we have got to understand that what is the most important thing for our children. The most important thing, last I checked, was living their lives and going to heaven, right? So we have got to be honest with what we have done with this, you know, with this event. So, you know, and again, well, you know, I can go. I still say that I can go and not be, you know, not be involved with all of that. Well, the question is, and that's always interesting to me when somebody says that, because, you know, well, I can go and be an example, right? Well, when you're there with everyone else, are you sure that that is your best opportunity to be your best example? While you are there, are people really going to look at you and see your light so shining before men that they will see you and see your good works and glorify God because of you being there? Or is the better example to take advantage of the opportunity when someone says, "You're not going to prom? Why in the world would you not go to prom?" Okay? So again, this idea that, well, I can go and not involve myself with those. Well, and again, it's kind of questionable to me, because you're going to go, and like I said, you can't not hear the music. Okay? You're going to go, but you're not going to do the things that are associated with that event. Well, if you're not going to do the things that are associated with that event, why are you going? What is your reason? What is your motivation for going? Is it because you want to be an example? Well, there again, I would challenge you to think that there are better ways to make that example. But let's be honest, is it really just because everybody else is doing it? Is it really because we really don't want to be left out? We really don't want to be excluded from what everyone else is doing? And I appreciate Glenn talking about Romans 12:2 earlier, that, you know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. We are called to be different. So if our desire, if we're more afraid of being left out than we are of standing out by being transformed, we really, really have some work to do. We have some study to do as well. So what about this? Okay. Let me draw a comparison for you. I have never heard, and I could be wrong, Glenn, I have never heard from this pulpit a sermon about parents, don't let your children go to the club on Friday night. Okay? Because we understand what a dance club or a nightclub is known for, right? You show up at a club, there's going to be inappropriate music, okay? There's going to be inappropriate dancing, Okay? There's going to be inappropriate dress, immodest dress. Now, I doubt anybody is showing up to the club on Friday or Saturday night in a prom dress, but it is 2019 and we have lost our ever-loving minds when it comes to common sense, so who knows, right? But all of those things that the club is known for, all of those things are happening at homecoming. All of those things are happening at the prom. But why is one different than the other? I don't think parents, if your daughter or your son came home and said, hey, I asked so-and-so, I finally got up my courage to ask so-and-so to go to the club this Saturday night, okay? Can you guys give me some money so I can rent a limo to drop us off? I don't think that conversation would end very well for the son. Or if the daughter came home and said, finally, he asked me, Mom, you gotta go help me shopping so I can have, you know, something to wear to the club Saturday night. What's the difference, y'all? What's the difference when we know what the club is known for and those same kinds of things happen at the dance? Okay? And like I said, I know that, but we also know what typically goes on, what those events are known for, okay? And we really, really have to consider our influence, our example. But more than that, we just have to consider our faithfulness to God, just plain and simple. It really, really comes down to, are we doing everything we can to be unspotted from the world? Glenn mentioned Colossians 3, and I want to focus on a couple of things in that passage. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. So I want to focus on just a couple of phrases in this as we work through. First, notice for Christ, who is your life. So the question becomes, is he? Young people, look at me. Okay? Let me see your eyes for a second. I want to challenge you with that. Okay? Is being obedient to the Lord the most important thing in your life? Is Christ your life? Now granted, most of us would answer that question with yes. There's nothing more important than me being obedient to God. Well, look though, Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Okay? Old King James says mortify, right? In other words, there should be no connection between those that claim Christ is our life and any connection to anything that would be found in that earthly nature category. Okay? So sexual immorality, the Greek word there is porneia. Okay? King James renders that fornication. And listen, y'all, I know that lots of people go to the prom, lots of people go to the homecoming dance or any other school dance, lots of people go and without committing fornication. I get that. Okay? And I also get the kind of, you know, the kind of eye roll that, like, it's not gonna happen, Mom. That's not gonna happen, Dad. I get that, okay? That's not the only thing in that list. Remember, we talked about the emotional connection that we have to the event, the emotional connection that we have with the person that we're going with. Okay? What about that impurity? What about lust? What about evil desires? Okay? We have, you know, those are not the overt act of fornication, but they are just as dangerous for our hearts and for our faithfulness to God. So if we're really going to answer the question with, yes, Christ is our life, then all those things we have to put to death. And that goes for us too. Not just the young people, right? If we're really striving to be the kind of Christian that God wants us to be, if we're really striving to be unspotted from the world, if we claim that Christ is our life, then we're called to put to death anything of that earthly nature. Okay? Now, when Solomon writing to his sons in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Okay? How do you guard your heart? Well, you stay away from things that would damage your heart. Okay? Stay away from things that would put you in a situation that would cause you to sin, that would cause you to have regret. Okay? Because everything flows from it. Whatever you put into your heart, it's going to, in some way, it's going to come out. Okay? So, and that's why I underline the word everything. Are we willing to examine every aspect of our lives? And adults, again, for us, are we willing to examine every aspect of our lives and question, is this what God wants me to do? Again, remember the first question I ask you when someone says, well, why is it a big deal if I go to prom? Why is it a big deal if you don't? With any question, with any choice, with any decision we have to make, we need to ask ourselves, is this going to bring me closer to God? Or could this take me farther away? Could this put me in a place that God does not want me to be in? We have options, right? You can, believe it or not, you can graduate high school having never attended prom or homecoming. Right? And besides that, I want you to understand that those things are not worth it. Speaking from personal experience, I would love to tell you that I grew up in the church, that I grew up always going to church. I would love to tell you that I've never been. It's not that. Okay? It's just that I know. I know what goes on. I know what went on when I went. I know what goes on now. And I know it's nowhere that's trying to be unspotted and trying to be clean and trying to guard our hearts against everything, it's nowhere that we need to be. Because why would we put ourselves in a situation that would encourage us to compromise, right? And again, that goes for all of us. And not just school dances, not just prom, okay? But just in everything, are we examining everything? Even something that has become, again, such a rite of passage. Let's challenge ourselves to examine everything in the world. Let's challenge ourselves to just look and say, is this something God wants me to do? Is this going to make me conform to the world? Or is this going to make me conformed to God's will? Right? And that's really the challenge for all of us, regardless of the topic, regardless of the choice. We all have that choice to make, and we have that choice to make daily, right? With everything. And young people, I would also love to tell you that once you can get to a point in your life where you don't have those choices anymore. You will always have that choice. You will always have those choices to make over what's the right thing to do and what God wants me to do. But start now, okay? One of the things that I have really, really appreciated, Brother Glenn mentioned in a sermon a while back about claim your values first and then examine things on a case-by-case basis. Know what the Word of God says and say, this is what the Bible says, this is what I'm gonna do. And right, isn't that what we should all be doing? You know, when we talk about doing things in Bible ways, doing Bible things in Bible ways, we should, everything about our lives, we should say, this is what the Word of God says, and because the Word of God says this, this is what I'm gonna do. And obviously, like I said, we all have choices to make, and there is no more important choice if you haven't made that choice already. There is no more important choice than choosing to obey the gospel. That is the most important choice. To make sure that you are in Christ according to what the Scripture teaches. Okay? Maybe there's someone here that has realized that they are not in Christ. Maybe there's someone here who has realized that today is the day that I need to make that choice, to choose to obey God and continue to conform my life to His. That moment is right now. Okay? Repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of sin. Okay, raised to walk in newness of life. That is the most important choice that we all have to make. And if you haven't made that choice, please do that. Or maybe we've realized that we've allowed compromise. We've allowed things to creep in and conform us to the world instead of conforming us to God's will, and we need to make that right immediately. We would love to pray with you and pray for you in that. If you have any need, if you have any need this morning, please come while we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Glenn Colley. If you have comments or questions, Glenn can be reached by email at colley@westhuntsville.org.